not tagging either player by Tuesday's 4 p.m. Eastern time deadline, the New York Giants now face the possibility of losing stars Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney in free agency. Ed Valentine of Big Blue View here to talk about Tuesday's Giants news as relates to the franchise tag deadline. Please like, share, and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts across the Big Blue View radio network. Let's talk about both players, Barkley, the star running back, and McKinney, the star safety, the guys who could be ex-Giants here soon when free agency begins here in another week and a half or so. Let's talk first about Barkley. The fact that the Giants did not use a franchise tag on Saquon this time around really isn't a surprise. GM Joe Shane had said a week or so ago at the NFL Combine that he wouldn't take the franchise tag off the table, that he wouldn't say that it was definitely not a possibility, but it never seemed realistic that the Giants were going to commit $12.1 million to Saquon Barkley for the 2024 season in what is really a depressed running back market where there will be a glut of quality free agent backs available, plus some guys in the draft who could be, you know, contributors to a running back room. So let's kind of assess the Barkley situation a little bit. Really not a shock, not a surprise that we're here at this point with Saquon Barkley most likely headed to free agency after 6 years with the New York Giants. The Giants and Barkley tried to negotiate a long-term contract a year ago, reportedly fell just a couple million dollars short, both in guaranteed money and in average annual value. On a long-term deal, on a multi-year deal that reportedly would have guaranteed him something like $23 million. Barkley, as we know, ended up playing on the $10.1 million franchise tag in the 2023 season. He was clear throughout the season and at the end of the season that he really did not want to be franchise tagged again. And now, you know, if we go back to last year, I was surprised, very surprised, to be honest with you, that if the Giants got as close with to a deal with Saquon as they reportedly did, I was very, very surprised that they didn't just go ahead and bridge that gap. I mean, $1 million, $2 million wasn't going to blow their salary cap out of proportion. It wasn't going to blow the running back market out of proportion. You know, a 2-year deal that would have given Barkley something like, or a 3-year deal even that would have given him something like, you know, $33 million with $23 million of that guaranteed, you know, over the first 2 years, something like that. That wasn't going to blow the Giants' budget out of whack, wasn't going to blow the running back market out of whack in terms of what running backs are getting paid these days. I was very surprised that the deal didn't happen at that point in time. Now, was that Barkley's fault? Was that the Giants' fault? You know, that's for you guys to decide. I don't know. There's probably some stubbornness on both sides. I think the Giants had their price point. Barkley had a belief that the running back market may not have really mattered. What the rest of the market was getting paid may not have really mattered because he was Saquon Barkley. He was different. He was special. He deserved more. And the Giants held the line and didn't give him more. So that's how we got into this situation. And to be honest with you, I never expected the Giants really. At one point in time, I thought, well, maybe the Giants would give him a 2-year deal somewhere 2 years, $22 million, 2 years, $24 million. In my view, with the salary cap having exploded and gone up, you know, much higher than anticipated, $255.4 million this year, I could justify, I could stomach the idea of the Giants giving Barkley 2-22, $11 million average annual value, maybe with $15 million guaranteed, maybe a void year in there to spread the salary cap hit out. I could stomach that. But it seems like, you know, Joe Shane and the Giants didn't want to do that. When in talking to Shane at the combine, he seemed to feel like he seemed comfortable in his stance on Barkley is the best way I can describe it. He didn't tell us, you know, what he was going to offer Saquon. He said he was going to go by market value of what running backs were paid. No sentimentality towards Saquon. No, you know, real consideration of his Giants legacy and things like that that we may talk about. He was going to go by market value. And you have to remember Joe Shane, Brian Daboll did not draft Saquon Barkley. I will say I'm relatively certain that they would not have drafted Saquon Barkley. There's no chance in my mind that they would have made a running back the second overall pick in the draft back in 2018 and started a rebuild with a running back. Joe Shane's positional value philosophy and his background from Carolina, from Buffalo, from the people that he's worked with tell me that there's no chance he would have done that. But, you know, but I think, you know, he would like to have Saquon back, but he wants Saquon at his price, at what he believes is a true running back value. And the issue for Barkley, we know what the issue is. In addition to the running back market, he's 27 years old. There's a long history now of running backs who get big contracts not performing up to the paycheck of that second contract. Ezekiel Elliott, you know, being one, Todd Gurley being another. And running backs in this market, you know, in this day and age, just aren't getting that big second contract. Barkley now, as I said, now 27, coming off what for him is really a down year. And yes, some of that can be blamed on the Giants offense, on the offensive line, on the lack of blocking, on the fact that they went through three quarterbacks, and, you know, on the fact that they were 6-11 and, you know, when you're losing games, you don't rely as much on the running game. So some of that is out of Barkley's control, but you're looking at a player who's had a devastating knee injury, who missed another three games this year with the third high ankle sprain of his career. And the reality of it is you're looking at a player who the New York Giants have to look at as a guy who is still a good player, can still do some things, is still a weapon in the passing game, still a really good running back, but he's a depreciating asset. Why would you, as the New York Giants, pay a depreciating asset more money than you paid him in 2023? So I'm pretty sure that that's where the Giants stand on that situation. I'm very, very curious to see when Saquon Barkley hits the open market, when the negotiating window opens on March 13. I'm very, very curious to see what kind of deal he gets. I'm also curious to see if he will bring that deal back to the Giants and give the Giants a chance to match that deal. One thing I know is that you can have that handshake deal. You can have that theory. You can have that wink, wink. I'm going to go out and test the market and see what kind of an offer that I can get. And yes, out of loyalty, out of respect, I'll bring that offer back to the table, back to you guys, and we'll give you an opportunity to match that offer. I know that in theory you can do that, but it doesn't always work out that way. Snacks Harrison, who signed with the Giants a few years back, has told a story about actually wanting to stay with the New York Jets during free agency, but he was free to negotiate with other teams. He was in the room with the Giants. He had an offer on the table from the Giants, and the Giants basically told Snacks Harrison that if he got up and left the room, that offer would disappear. Well, Snacks wanted to take that offer back to the Jets, but couldn't get a hold of anybody, couldn't negotiate with the Jets at that point in time for whatever reason, and in the room decided to take the offer from the Giants because he was basically put on the hot seat. He was put on the take it now or it comes off the table sort of situation. And that happens, and that may well happen with Saquon Barkley. He may go to the Houston Texans or wherever, and they may put an offer on the table from him, and he might say, I'd like to discuss this with the Giants, or give me 24 hours to think about this offer. And they may say, no, you've got an hour, or you've got until you leave the room, and if you don't take the offer, we'll move on. So those kinds of things happen. And, I'm very, very interested to see what the average annual value of Barkley's contract will be. The length isn't as concerning to me. I would be surprised if anyone gives him more than 2 years of guaranteed money, not at the age of 27, not with his injury history. For me, I think Barkley is a short-term play for teams that have designs on making a long, deep playoff run here in the next couple of years. I think that Barkley will be sought after by good teams, not by rebuilding teams, not by teams that are, that won four or five games a year ago. I think he'll be sought after by good teams, by playoff teams, by teams that already have a lot of pieces in place and that will look at him as a finishing piece. But I look at the franchise tag that Barkley played on in 2023, $10.1 million. I am very curious to see if Barkley's contract exceeds the $10 million mark. I'm not sure that it will. I've gotten mixed opinions on that when I've asked people. Some people think he could get that $12 million, 2 and 24, $12 million, which basically 12.1 would have been the franchise tag this year. Some people think that the market being what it is with Derrick Henry, with Josh Jacobs, with Austin Eckler, with Tony Pollard, with DeAndre Swift, all also on the market, plus a deep class of running backs that could be selected through the middle part of the 2024 NFL draft. Some people think Barkley's value might top out around $8 million, on an average annual value. I don't know. I'm very, very, very curious to see how that is going to work out. It's, one of the fascinating things about the market, Barkley, on the face of it, with what he's done, probably deserves more money than he's getting paid or than he will get paid. But that simply is the nature of what it is with running backs now. Running backs, plain and simple, running backs generally do their best work under their rookie contracts. They don't get better as they get older. And that's unfortunate for Barkley. It's unfortunate for all of these running backs, because with the rookie wage scale, they're probably underpaid as on that rookie contract if they play, as well as Barkley has played, as well as some of these other guys played on their rookie deals. From the team perspectives, it just doesn't make sense to pay them big money as they get into their late 20s, as they're looking for that second contract after 5 or 6 years, in the NFL, and after taking thousands of hits and carrying the ball, touching the ball, a couple thousand times. It just doesn't make sense. In terms of suitors for Barkley, the teams that you hear are the Houston Texans, who made the playoffs in the first year with DeMeco Ryans as head coach, with C.J. Stroud at quarterback, an up-and-coming team that could really, really use, a running back as they try to elevate themselves, from a playoff sort of curiosity, from a team that did better than expected, to a team that can be a legitimate contender for the next couple of years in the AFC. That's a team with Stroud on a rookie contract that might feel like they can go for it, might feel like they can make a couple of sort of finishing piece type moves in free agency, and where Barkley makes sense. The Los Angeles Chargers are a team with new coach Jim Harbaugh that is going to be committed to the running game. You know, the word that you hear is that Harbaugh would very, very much like to pursue Saquon Barkley in free agency. And with him hitting the open market, you know, obviously the Chargers now have a chance to do that. You also hear in the NFC East, Dallas Cowboys, who didn't run the ball as well in 2023 as they may have hoped to. Philadelphia Eagles, another team that Giants fans probably don't want to hear about in terms of signing Saquon Barkley. Another possibility might be the Baltimore Ravens, where Barkley would team quite nicely with quarterback Lamar Jackson. You know, one other note really is that Saquon has always said that what he wants is to be treated fairly. And for me, this seems fair to Barkley after, you know, after 6 years of his career. It seems fair not to tag him again, to give him the opportunity to go into free agency and see if there is a team, you know, willing to more or less blow the Giants offer out of the water. That sort of, that puts the onus on Saquon, sort of takes the onus off of GM Joe Shane and says, look, if he leaves, you know, somebody paid him more money than we were really willing to pay. And, you know, the Giants can say Saquon made that decision. We didn't tie his hands. We didn't force him to stay here, you know, under the franchise tag when he didn't want to. And the Giants can say, you know, if Barkley winds up in LA or winds up in Houston with the Texans or wherever he winds up, the Giants can say we were fair to him and he chose to leave. In terms of Xavier McKinney, lots of speculation that Xavier McKinney would get what's called the transition tag, not the franchise tag. The franchise tag value would have been $17.1 million and would have meant that McKinney would not be able to shop, you know, his services to other teams during free agent. The transition tag, the value of that this coming season would have been $13.8 million. Under the transition tag, McKinney would have been allowed to shop, you know, for a better offer from other teams. Whatever offers he got, he would have the opportunity to bring those back to the Giants. The Giants would have a few days, I believe it's 5 days, to decide whether to match that offer. If the Giants chose to match that offer, McKinney would have stayed with the Giants. If they chose not to match that offer, then McKinney would have gone to whatever team had made that offer. No compensation for the Giants in that circumstance. Right up until about an hour before the deadline, there was a lot of chatter, a lot of reporting, a lot of expectation from media members who I trust, who I think are well-sourced and well-connected, that the Giants would use the transition tag on McKinney and then allow him to shop for an offer. And really, the fact that they didn't tells me that the numbers coming from McKinney's side that he would be seeking would probably be well above that $13.8 million mark. Tony Pauline, well-connected NFL insider, wrote the other day in his column that McKinney was expected to ask for somewhere between $17 and $18 million. There's no guarantee that anyone out there would be willing to give him that, but that is the price that McKinney or McKinney's side seems to feel like he's worth. Now, obviously, I don't think the Giants think he's worth, you know, an average annual value of $17 or $18 million. I think they sort of put their marker down or would have put their marker down by using that transition tag, you know, $13.8 million, somewhere in that range. You know, $17 or $18 million makes McKinney easily one of the top five paid safeties in the NFL. And he's a good player, but I'm not sure he's that good a player. I'm not sure he's worth that kind of money. So we'll see what happens here with McKinney. I had thought at the end of the season that McKinney was probably going to leave the Giants. That was kind of the vibe that you got when you were around Xavier McKinney, that that he was ready to leave, that he was ready to test the market, that he was ready to go someplace else to get paid. I thought maybe the move away from Wink Martindale to Shane Bowen would change that for the Giants, would give them an opportunity to bring McKinney back, but it looks like McKinney's going to be moving on. This will be the second straight year that the Giants lose a starting safety if McKinney does indeed, you know, sign somewhere else. Obviously, a year ago, they lost Julian Love, replaced him with Jason Pinnock, who had a really good season for the Giants in 2023. McKinney's going to be a difficult player to replace. 24 years old, team captain, one of several team captains that the Giants have. The Giants probably have too many team captains, or had too many. I think they had 10, which, to be honest, is a ridiculous number. But still, McKinney was a team captain and looked at as a leader. McKinney played every snap in 2023. Over the second half of the season, after a pretty quiet first half, McKinney played really, really well over the second half of the season. And he's going to be difficult to replace. There's not an obvious replacement for him on the roster like there was with you know, Pinnock for Julian Love. The Giants are going to have to go into the draft. They're going to have to go into free agency. They're going to have to find another impact safety. This McKinney would be a big loss to the defense. There's really no way to sugarcoat that. As Joe Shane said the other day, he really wanted to keep Xavier McKinney. But one thing we know about Joe Shane, we know that Joe Shane is a modern GM. He is the anti-Dave Gettleman. Joe Shane believes in positional value. He believes in certain positions being worth certain percentages of the salary cap. You can say that that's an ABC approach if you want. You can say that that's a cookie cutter approach if you want. And I don't know, maybe that's true, maybe that's fair, but that seems to be the way that Joe Shane does business. I'm sure that as much as he wants to keep McKinney or would like to keep McKinney, he looks at the position McKinney plays, safety, and says there's a certain value to that. Just like he looked at the position that Saquon Barkley plays, running back, and says there's a certain value to that. And if Xavier McKinney's going to ask for $18 million a year, if he's going to ask for a four-year, $70 million deal, you know, Joe Shane's going to look at that and say that's way above the value that I'm willing to pay for a safety. You know, we will fill that position another way. All right, Giants fans, that is the show for today. Please continue to follow Big Blue View as we keep you guys up to date on free agency coming up here in another week, on the draft, on all of the news and rumors surrounding the New York Giants. Please check us out not only at bigblueview.com and here on YouTube or on the podcasts, but check out our Facebook page, check out our Instagram page, check out Big Blue View on Twitter, check out my account over on Threads if you happen to use Threads at ed.valentine is where you can find me over there. So Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.